the way the Holy Spirit manifests Himself, the different groups of gifts, graces, and operations of the Holy Spirit. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm going to read the first six verses, or the first seven verses, and we're going to talk about that just a little bit. Now about, and I'm reading from the NIV, if you've got your iPhone cats, if you got your iPhone and you got your, where you can do the different translations, or if you got another inferior phone that has, Scripture. If you have iPhone and you haven't downloaded YouVersion yet, you ought to do that. It's a free, awesome Bible. It really is. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to be reading from the NIV tonight. And it'll read like this. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, or no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I want us to look back in the first verse there. And does anybody have King James Bible? Anybody? We're not King James much at all anymore. King James, if you'll look at the word gifts in the first verse, now about spiritual gifts, brethren, you'll notice that's in italics. Is anybody's? The reason it's in italics because it's not in the Greek language. That's added by the translators to try to clarify. But in some cases, what they add does not clarify. It kind of confuses. But what that word there is not a Greek word there for the word gifts, and that's going to be significant as we study this. So kind of mark that down. Anytime in the King James Bible, when you see an italics, that means that has been added by the translator's discretion. It's not a translation. It's added by his discretion to bring clarity. And sometimes it clarifies and sometimes it doesn't. I think in this case it doesn't. Because here's what it literally says. Now about spirituals, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. If you look at the Greek word there, it's a compound word, and it's the word pneuma and tikos. And the word tikos means about or concerning, and the word pneuma means spirit. So what that's saying, now about the things of the Spirit, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. What has happened in teaching in what I call Spirit-filled, Pentecostal, charismatic, that's just a catch-all phrase. When people say Pentecostal, they're really not talking about a denomination. They're talking about there's a lot of churches that are considered to be Pentecostal. Help me name them here. Assembly of God, Church of God, United Pentecostal Church, Church of God of Prophecy, Church of God in Christ. What? It's not. What's another one? Holiness Pentecostal, Apostolic, anything that is charismatic is considered to be Pentecostal. So Pentecostal describes a set of beliefs more than it does a denomination. There are Pentecostal Baptist churches. There are Pentecostal Catholic churches. There are Pentecostal, sometimes they call them charismatic. Sometimes they call them Pentecostal. So when I say Pentecostal, it is a hodgepodge of all of those kind of churches. So in the Pentecostal churches, some of the other churches really don't believe in what is called the gifts of the Spirit. But if we begin to break this down, This is talking about more than spiritual gifts in this chapter. If we look down in verse 4, now I'm going to read verse 1 again. I'm not going to leave the gifts out. Now concerning spiritual matters or things of the Spirit, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were pagans somehow and or other. You were influenced and led away by mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, or no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to look at verse 4, 5, 6, and 7, and we're going to try to break this down and show you some things other places in Scripture. I hope you brought your Bibles tonight. Are y'all watching me or y'all watching babies? A lot of you are watching babies. Watch me. Okay. Well, cute babies are cute. I love it. You know, I got a cute one sitting on the third row right there, you know. So, but I want to break down, and I'm not talking about Miranda either. She helped though. But we're going to talk about verse 4, 5, 6, and 7 because this covers more than what's in this chapter. Okay? And when we say spiritual gifts, if we really understand what the Bible is teaching, it's not talking about this group down here that we traditionally in Pentecostal churches call the gifts of the Spirit. There's something else that's called the gifts of the Spirit. This is called something else. And we're going to look at that tonight. Verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. That word is there in the Greek language. It is the word charisma. There are several Greek words in the New Testament that are translated gifts. There's doma, dosis, doria, charisma. There's another one. Yeah, doma, charisma, dosis. I'll come up with it in a minute. But there's several of them. So, but now the verse 4 says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now go with me to Romans chapter 12. I want to show you something here. And this is going to give a list of gifts because this is what this is talking about. You know, gift is used a whole lot in Scripture, but when it talks about the Holy Spirit, when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, we're talking about more than what we call like word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning the spirits, those. We're talking about a whole lot more than that right there. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Look at your neighbor and say, you belong to me, and I belong to you. And this is not just about your immediate family, this is your church family. We belong to each other, okay? Verse 6. We have different gifts. There's that word, gifts. That is the Greek word, charisma. Charisma comes from a word, charis, which means grace. That's what that word means, grace. I know a young lady that her mama named her Charis. She's a girl that was raised around here. That's what her name means. It means grace. And when we say charisma, we're talking about something that has to do with grace. This is we could call this a gift, a grace, or a benefit. And this is, and it's listing these here. We have different gifts or graces according to the grace given to us. So this is, we have charisma according to the charis that's given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. This is a list of gifts called charisma gifts, okay? So you can look at this and you could number these if you wanted to. One of them is prophesying. Let him use it in proportion to his faith. Verse 7, if it is serving, let him serve. Did you know serving is a gift? People say all the time, I'm just trying to find out what my gift is. Well, here's a list of gifts, and we can look at these and we can see if these fit our inclination, if they fit our personality, if they fit our passion, if they fit in our lives, then that is a spiritual grace that God has put in your life. And every one of us has graces that has been put in our lives, and these are gifts. Now, there are these kind of gifts are put in our lives, and we use them however we choose to use them. You can use them correctly. You can abuse them. You can misuse them. They do not function as the Spirit wills. They function as you will. They function in your personality. In fact, some of these charismas, they help shape who you are. When God designed you, He put these things in you by His grace. Grace is, okay, what is grace? Grace is God's, we call it unmerited favor, or God's willingness to use His power on your behalf, even though you don't deserve it. This is one of the way that the power of God works in our lives as Christians, is through this grace or this charisma. So when God designed you, and this has to do with shaping you for your purpose, okay? And because I know a lot of people who think, you know, I'm not a speaker, and I can't sing, or I can't play an instrument, therefore I don't have a gift. Well, here is a list of gifts right here. One of them is prophesying, or speaking God's Word, the inspired Word of God. But another one is serving. It says, let Him serve. Why? Because that's His grace. If it is teaching, let Him teach. Verse 8, here's another one. If it is encouraging, let Him encourage. Did you know that there are people in the body of Christ that are gifted to exhort and to encourage people? They're just really good at that. Can you think of somebody who has that grace in their life? Somebody talk to me. Who? Nancy? Nancy encourages? Wow. Oh, in her own special way. Miss Claudine, she encourages people. Jim Busby, Jason Ramsey. It's just part of your. It's a grace that God has put in your life. It is a spiritual gift. It operates at all times. It operates on the job. It should operate at home. It should shape who you are and what you're doing. What about serving? Can you think of anybody who has a serving grace in their life? Who would that be? Norma Jean? Norma Jean, sir, she has a heart to serve. What are other ways? Who are some other people that you know? Tammy Brazier. She has a servant's heart. And, yeah, the whole Brazier. There's a minister that I know. Although he's a preacher and teacher, I believe that he has this gift of encouragement more than anybody that I know of. Can you think? He's on TV. Can you think of who I'm talking about? Joel Osteen. You know why Joel Osteen is so popular? Some people say, well, he waters down the gospel. He is such an encourager of people. And, you know, we have so many people that get on the TV and they just beat people up and they put them down. And they're confrontational. He just, you know, you're the best God's got. You know, that's Joel. He's just an encourager. Here's another one. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. You know, there are people who are gifted to give. And this is not talking about tithes and offerings, because we're all supposed to do that. This is talking about people who have a heart to just give beyond the normal. And these are usually people that God has blessed with the ability to make money, because He knows that they'll give. Everything they touch just seems like it turns to gold. But they have a heart to give. They love to give to every need. They get their... They had rather give than do anything else. And that's a spiritual gift. There are people who are gifted to give that way. Do we have any of those people? DJ? I thought he was tight. Okay. Okay. Do what? Jason Ramsey has that heart too. Okay. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. Here's another one. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Who do you know that shows mercy? We got any mercy people? Nancy's merciful. Jerry is looking straight ahead. He's Who do we know that has mercy? Who? Christy Thorne. Christy Thorne is a very merciful person. Yeah. I mean, she goes around and collects food, and she has a heart to show mercy to people. Can you see how that God can take a conglomerate of spiritual gifts in a church and really do something dynamic with it? That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. See, one of the things that we have to get away from in our thinking, that anything that has to do with the Holy Spirit is weird. It's really not. The Holy Spirit is not weird. Some people who claim to be motivated by the Holy Spirit may be weird. But did you know that there's weird people in every church, in every movement? And I'm not going to ask you who has that gift in this church. It's weird. So, but God takes these gifts and these graces that He works in people's lives. Maybe you haven't discovered what your grace is yet. But you need to discover that grace, and that can tell you what you need to be doing in a church. If hospitality is your gift and you love talking to people, you need to be out front greeting on Sunday mornings. You need to be helping new people find the bathrooms and the nursery and the... You say, well, what has that got to do with the gospel? It has everything to do with the gospel. It's called serving. It's called hospitality. So there is one group of gifts, okay? Okay, go back to 1 Corinthians 12. I've still got... My countdown says I've still got 11 minutes and 51 seconds. Okay. Verse 5 says, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. That word service there is the word diakonia. Does anybody know what diakonia means? Huh? What is a diakonia? Does anybody know what a diakonia is? That's where we get the word deacon. And that thing is service. So this has to do with people who serve, okay? Now this is not necessarily just talking about the office of the deacon, okay? I think this is talking about something that's found in Ephesians chapter 4. And let's flip over there. This is one of the things it includes, because it's, see, the idea here is ministry, ministering, okay? So diakonia is ministering. See, here's one thing that we need to see about the local church. I dreamed about this last night, and I asked Tom Underhill in my dream, and he told me it wasn't true. That's, you know, crazy dreams. But all of the gifts in the local church flows out of the office that God places in the church. We are all built upon the foundation of the apostles, okay? If we studied the life of the apostle stands in five ministry offices. He is an apostle, he's a prophet, he's an evangelist, he's a pastor, and a teacher. He does all of those functions. The original apostles stood in those offices. Jesus is called the apostle. Jesus had every spiritual gift. When God places these gifts in a local body, it opens the door for other things to flow out of that. That's why where there is no leadership in the church, where there are no spiritual gifts that we're fixing to talk about in the church, the church gets in chaos because the church has to be led. It has to be guided. It has to be taught. It has to be shepherded. So I think that this reference here is talking about this group of gifts found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. And we're going to read that now. If you got your Bible, flip over there. It says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train, and he gave gifts to men." Now that word gifts is not charisma. It is the word doma. Doma. It's different. And that word doma means an appropriate gift for a specific reason or occasion. It's different than a gift that comes out of grace. This is an appropriate gift for a specific reason or purpose. Okay? Now, flip down to verse 11. We're going to skip a couple verses there because it's talking about something else. But it says, "It was he who gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." This is another group of gifts that the Bible talks about. These are called doma gifts. This is an appropriate gift for a specific reason. There's a specific reason for the apostle. There's a specific reason for the prophet. There's a specific reason for an evangelist. There's a specific reason for a pastor. There's a specific reason for a teacher. Those are five gifts that were given for specific occasions and a specific purpose or reason. Can anyone name somebody who might be an apostle? Are there still apostles today? Yes. Can anybody name somebody who might stand in an apostle's role? Can you think of anybody in the body of Christ? Because they really, these guys are the groundbreakers. These are the guys that go, a missionary could be an apostle, but what they do, they go in, they plow up the hard ground, they preach like an evangelist, they get people saved, they build a church, they disciple those people, and then they turn it over to, they pastor them until they turn it over to somebody else and they move somewhere else. So a lot of your missionaries are could be considered to be apostles. There are men who do that kind of work. Has anybody ever heard of T.L. Osborne? Okay, T.L. Osborne was a person who did that kind of work. Then there is the prophet. Can anybody think who might be a prophet? We don't see a lot of prophets, but there are prophets in the body of Christ. I believe that Brother Hagin was a prophet. He spoke by the Spirit of God and would speak things by the Spirit of God. What about an evangelist? Do we know any modern day evangelists? Who? Billy Graham. Oh, wonderful. A great deal who would be an evangelist. What was his message? It was Christ. He was a gift to the body of Christ. He was a gift to the world, and he was there for a specific reason. What about pastor? We know lots of pastors, don't we? We know lots of teachers. So those are the most common because usually they're hooked into the local church more. Those other three are more outside the walls of the church. But there's another group of gifts that are different in design, but they have a specific reason. They're not everybody in the body of Christ would have these gifts. There's this other set of gifts that we talked about, charisma, that all of us have some of these kind of gifts. And God, what God does is that He'll take a pastor and He will set him into a church to help set that church in order so that the gifts in that church can begin to operate as it should, and that we together, He can orchestrate and bring leadership where that gift can function as a body working together using their spiritual gifts. Okay. Now then, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 6 says, "There are different kinds of working, but it's the same God who works all of them in all men." So that word is energia, which is energy. What he's saying is that it's God who takes these gifts and these different kinds of gifts. He works it through us and He works it in us and He works it all together and causes the energy for it to take place. Verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now that word manifestation, that's what we want to talk about. Manifestation of the Spirit. I have heard it said before, and this cripples us when we don't understand things rightly. And this is why I said it this way. I heard somebody say one time, so-and-so has the gift of healing. That is so not true. That is so not true. This group of what we call gifts in this chapter 12 here are not actually gifts. What they are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. That's what they are. We call them gifts. We call them charismata. But they're really not. They're manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And see, there's all kinds of teachings about that, you know, when a person receives the Holy Spirit, he might receive this gift or 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 this gift. Let me just say this. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you know what you receive? You receive the Holy Spirit. You have the capability of manifesting any and all of these manifestations of the Spirit. There's not a person who has the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the gift of this, the gift of that. It's not a portion that way. What you receive when you receive the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit and all His capability. Now, this is the difference in the way that these things have been taught in churches. And, you know, I heard it said for years, Oral Roberts has the gift of healing. No, Oral Roberts doesn't. God used him that way. God used him that way, but that was not his gift. What he had was the Holy Spirit. And you know what? You've got the same Holy Spirit that he had. And you have the same capability of doing anything that the Spirit leads you to do. Now, I want us to look at this word manifestation here. It's the Greek word phanerosis. Phanerosis. And it means to make visible, to bring into the light. And the root word of this word phanerosis is the word phos, which is light. Light. So when it says manifestation, the ideal is the light brings the manifestation. What is the first thing that God said? Let there be light. And what was it that brought that into being? It was the Holy Spirit brooding upon the face of the waters. And when He says, light be, light was. And that's what the Holy Spirit brought forth. He was responsible for that. When the Holy Spirit manifests Himself in a situation, it's considered to be a phanerosis, the bringing forth of light. That light may result in a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, insight into the spirit realm. It may come as a prophetic utterance. It could come through maybe a tongue, an interpretation of tongue, or it could be a manifestation of healing, a working of miracles, or even a discerning of spirits. And that's the way that the Holy Spirit manifests Himself. These are really not gifts of the Spirit. They're manifestations of the Spirit. And this verse 7 says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now when we begin to understand this in a different light, we begin to look at things differently. Now, real quick, let me read what these are. Verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith or special faith by the same Spirit. Time's up. To another gifts. Okay. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now notice that word is G-I-F-T-S. Gifts. And that word is charisma, which means, and I want to explain that real quick because I don't want it to confuse you. That word means grace. That has nothing to do with a person's faith who receives the healing. It is a grace healing by God. We saw a lot of this in the New Testament that had nothing to do with the person's faith. You can be healed by using your faith, but there are times that the Holy Spirit manifests Himself and brings a healing apart from the person's faith who receives the healing. And that's what that's talking about. That's different than what has been termed faith healing, which I hate that word. But anyway, so that's what that's talking about. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. You have the Holy Spirit. At any time, you can manifest any of those manifestations of the Spirit as the Spirit wills. You don't control these. These come as the Spirit wills. Now, we will talk about some other things in chapter 14, but we got to quit because Nancy said my time's up, and so did the timer. Okay. Next week, same time.